Good evening, ladies. This is our verse this evening that we are starting on. It's John 14, 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Again, that is John 14, 2. The thing with this verse is, man, the Lord and I have actually had to go to the mat over this verse. And what part of that do you want me to study out, Lord? What part do you want me to focus on in that verse? So many people want to focus on the physical, what that may look like up there, what heaven, you know, what we, you know, if he's up there, Jesus up there preparing this place, and he's been at that for 2,000 years, well then, oh my goodness, you know, this should really look like something special. That seemed not to be the focus of this evening. It seemed not to be where God was taking me with that. The first thing that he showed me in that verse was that he prepared a way for us to even be present. And what he was telling, this is a conversation that he is having with them prior to his going to the cross. Okay. So he was just about to have that going on in his life. So the first thing he is saying is, I'm going, I'm leaving here. I'm about to be tortured and on that cross, and I'm about to prepare a room, a way. I'm about to prepare a way for you to even be able to be in heaven. So that's the first part is that. And rather than focusing, the author of the book that we do, she says, we can get so into the mansion, we can get so into the figurative, you know, what does it look like? All of those kinds of things that we forget that our future lies with our master, not our mansion. It lies with our master. What matters is he lives there. He lives there in heaven. That's what matters. And so will we. And so will we. Absolutely. Heaven is not so much about the room or the riches as it is about the one who stands in the midst of it. And in the midst of every room up there. Jesus is the center of all life, and he is the central focus of all that is in heaven and earth. He's everything. He is everything that we need. And when we have him, we will have access to all the riches of heaven. He's the glory. He's the provision. He is everything. He is everything. We all have a shelf life, so to speak. You all have things in your cupboard that have expired. The shelf life on that particular product has expired. Well, we all have a shelf life, all right? 100 years from now, very few of us are going to still be on this side of eternity. The fact is that 100% of people alive today will die unless Jesus comes back in this generation, which certainly could happen. Okay, even though our time here on earth is limited, God has made for us eternity. He has made for us eternity. I want to read a scripture. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because I wish to emphasize a few things there. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in his time. He has also planted eternity in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out or comprehend or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. That mysterious longing, which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God, that is planted. That's eternity, and that is planted in our hearts. And I would be remiss if I did not speak to this tonight. So many of us walking this earth are trying to bring heaven down here, and we're trying to fill that void, that we have that mysterious longing for something, and we're trying to fill it with the things of the earth. We're trying to fill it with temporary things that satisfy, and then they only satisfy for a little bit, because there is only one thing that is going to satisfy: Jesus. That's it. That's all that's going to satisfy. He's made us for another life. He has made us to be there. He's made us to be home. And we are so busy trying to make this be our home and be our permanent dwelling that we are little paying attention to that eternity that he's placed in our hearts. How many times did you think about heaven today? Okay. Well, I certainly did, but then that was because I was studying this lesson out. Okay. Mostly, I want you to think about that. We are not thinking about that. That is not how we're living down here. We're not living down here. So we, though our time here on earth is limited, God has indeed created us for eternity. We have eternal souls. And you, the real you, the part of you that was made by God, will live eternally, either in heaven or in hell. We don't like that part, but those are our choices. God has put heaven within us. It's an instinct. It's a belief. It is a tiny bit of our DNA. It is in our DNA. And it says to us, just like I just read in Ecclesiastes, it says to us that there's a life after this, beyond this. There's a life after this. So the thing that we have to be focused on is not all the things that heaven is or is going to be, but on Jesus, on the Father, they make up heaven. Okay. They make it up. We know that the real truth is in the Word of God, and we know that heaven exists. There are over 600 references to it in the Word, and his Word is infallible, and it is truth. It is truth. So what is it about heaven that makes it everything that we hope for? It's not the streets of gold. It's not the beautiful things. It's not that. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It is heaven, and it is all about him. It is all about him. Now, the route to heaven, all right, that is also found in Jesus. All about him and going home to be with him. Only our relationship with Jesus Christ takes us there. And this is why it is essential that Christians understand the eternal nature of our lives so that we can make an impact on the forever right now. So we need to get up every day with a sincere hope and set our mind on the eternal. Set our mind on the eternal. of all the wonders that our Creator provides, our relationship with Jesus vastly exceeds them all. Exceeds them all. Jesus is the best thing that we will ever know. His love restores, it satisfies, it transforms, and it heals. His grace empowers us, and brings us a peace that is unexplainable, transcends anything that we can imagine. That, okay? His nearness resolves the greatest fears of our hearts. No matter what our hearts are fearing or whatever they are, his nearness in us, to us, resolves that. In a word, if we have a fear that is overtaking us, it's probably time to do a little mat time with God and get those fears resolved, because he is absolutely willing by his nearness to provide that. His kingship, if you will, calls us to a right lifestyle of living for heaven rather than a pursuit which is worldly and fleeting. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." That is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. You and I have a limited amount of space in our hearts. And when we choose to fill our lives with the things of the world, then we crowd out that which will fill us with that pure and abounding relationship with Jesus. It is for this reason that Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 24, "No one can serve two masters." You can't do it. You don't get to serve, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And money, in the bigger sense of the word, is things of worldly value. It doesn't, you know, we're not even really speaking about the almighty dollar, though that plays in. Please, it does play in. But we are really talking about the worldly things. So you are in a balancing act, it says, and not one he wants us to be in. We, right here, as his disciples, we must learn to lead different lives than others around us. Instead of looking to others as our standard for what is good or right, we need to be looking to whom? We need to be looking to Jesus. We need to look to him. Instead of setting the bar for our lives by looking at successful people or people that we think are doing that right, even successful Christians, we have to set our bar at living like Jesus. Jesus valued relationship with the Father above all else. Above all else. He valued obedience to the Father's will above all other pursuits. And every breath he breathed was done to the glory of God. Every breath he breathed was done to the glory of God, the Father. And you and I are actually supposed to be doing the same. We are supposed to be doing the same. To live for heaven is to throw off every weight that would hinder us from pursuing the fullness of this relationship with Jesus. To live for heaven is to declare with our thoughts and our actions and our emotions that Jesus truly is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that he's worthy, that he is so worthy of our lives. To live in heaven, to live for heaven, is to make as much room in our hearts for Jesus as possible. To live for heaven today and to discover that wealth of a relationship and that satisfaction is only available to you through the pursuit of Jesus. It won't be found in people or relationships or things here on this earth. It will not be found there. It will be found in this relationship with him. That is where it will be found. That is where it will be found. So what might be the things of the world that you've been pursuing? In what way has the world crowded out that space that was meant solely for the things of God? These are questions to ask yourself this week. It says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's where we ask the Lord to lead us to a lifestyle of living for heaven. It's where we ask him to give you a vision, if you will, of what it looks like to pursue this relationship with him above all else. It means committing to his paths of righteousness and relationship. And it does mean turning away from worldly cares and pursuits. It says in 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, it's not from the Father, that is from the world. And the world is passing away. There's a newsflash. It is passing away along with all of its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever, abides forever. Wow, we need that perspective. We need to live with that heavenly perspective. And to do that is going to take some time in his presence. It is going to take time in his presence, getting in his word, studying his word. See, it is actually unnatural to live in the world, but not of the world. Do you remember that? Do you remember that song? It escapes me now who that was by. But was that Larry Norman? I'm only visiting this planet. We're supposed to live in the world, but not of the world. Maybe. Anyway, I don't remember for sure, but I can tell you that it is unnatural. Everything down here screams, better yourself, do this. You've got it coming at you in aces and spades. And the only place that you are going to be able to start living in light of eternity, well, that's going to be in your quiet time with God. That's going to be settling some things. That's going to be getting into his word. That's where you can grab hold of some of that perspective, some of that perspective. If we're going to live to fully pursue the abundant life to which we've been called, we have to choose to live differently. If we're going to truly live for heaven, then we are going to have to let God daily renew our perspective on what matters. Daily renew our perspective on what matters. The world is a fearful an unsatisfying place without the hope of our eternal life. It is. Apart from the expectation that comes from the hope of heaven, our world is without our world is without peace. Our world is in turmoil. Our world is a million different things. It is a million different things right now. There's no joy. There's no hope. There's no any of those things. The world can't build those in you, because all it can do is give you a temporary hope that this next thing that you do is going to fill that. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. He has built eternity in the heart of a man. He has built it in there, and it will not be satisfied with anything but him. Will not be satisfied with anything but him. The Father longs to make us a people of hope. He does. He longs for his followers to live a lifestyle that literally declares to the world, this life is not all there is. This life is not all there is. He longs to fill us with a heavenly perspective that we might throw off pursuits of worldly pleasure and live in eternity with him. People need to see a difference. People need to know why that difference is there. People need to know why, for heaven's sakes, can we have... where is it? Why do we have that joy? Why do we live it differently when things are falling around, you know, falling at our feet around us? Probably never more than right now. Never more than right now. People are looking for answers. They're looking for answers. And we actually have those answers. We have those answers. Those of us that have Jesus in us, we have those answers, and we cannot just fall in and be victim of the world. We just can't do it. We are made to make an eternal impact far greater than we can imagine. And God longs to use us to release his love and his grace and his peace and his mercy and his redemption to others that are in desperate need of him in such... Excuse me. Usually I get that shut off. There. That's the end of that. Okay. But he longs to use us to release his love and his grace and his peace and his mercy and his redemption to others in desperate need of him. He calls us out of just the daily grind of going through the motions to a much higher pursuit of seeing people transformed by his goodness, Allowing God to transform you from the inside out, allowing him to do that. We're not called to minister to others in our own strength. We're not called to figure out how to best love people. All that is required of us is to take time to let God love us, fill us with the desires of his heart. And then we have that to offer. We have that to offer people. God wants to do something interesting. He wants to take your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes, and he wants to multiply it, and he wants to feed the souls of thousands. He does. He wants us to partner with the Holy Spirit residing in us, by the way, and he wants us to allow God to use us to change the world, But to do that, we're going to have to take time in prayer. We're going to have to take time in His Word. We're going to have to take time to hear from Him in those quiet places and allow His Word and His Spirit to teach us, empower us, and release us so that we can literally be that to a lost and dying world, or people living for this world, so that they might live for the next world, that they might live for the next world. I want to I want to read of a near-death experience. Well, I don't know why they called it a near-death experience. The man was dead. So anyway, how do you call that a near-death experience? Yes, I mean, he actually had a death certificate. Okay, so anyway, this actually happened many years ago. It was 1943. It was in Camp Barkley, Texas, and his name was George Ritchie. His name was George Ritchie. He had enlisted to fight the Nazis, and in the middle of boot camp, he woke up at midnight, heart pounding, 106 degree fever, during the x-rays, passed out, and died. The attending doctor declared him dead. Okay, well, he didn't die. All right. He didn't die. He came back. All right. But I am going to read for you about that experience. It was impossibly bright. It was impossibly bright. I saw this light, but it wasn't a light. It was a man who had entered this room, or rather it was a man made out of light. And the instant that I perceived him, a command formed itself in my mind, stand up. I got to my feet, and as I did, came this amazing certainty: you are in the presence of the Son of God. From his presence came a love beyond my wildest imagining. This love knew every unlovable thing about me, every mean and selfish thought and action since the day I was born, and accepted and loved me just the same. Filling the world with himself, and yet somehow attending to just me personally, waiting for my answer to the question that still hung in the dazzling air: what have you done with your life to show me? The question, like everything else proceeding from him, had to do with love. How much have you loved with your life? You are lavishly and unconditionally loved by Jesus. We are lavishly and unconditionally loved by Jesus. And despite all that we have done or failed to do, we are fully and completely loved. Sometimes you might hear thoughts in your head telling you that you're not worthy. You need to reject them. They are lies. And instead, you need to focus on staying connected to God's love every moment of every day. As Jesus encourages in the words of John 15:9, as you do this, he will, love this word, infuse his love into your heart. Tanya, I always go to the medical profession. I've had a number of infusions of various things. There is nothing about that that I can do. That is that is being done to me. I am being infused. I am being infused. And he will infuse his love into your heart and mind, and then into your relationships, helping you extend that same merciful love toward the people that he puts in your path. The people that he puts in your path. Think about the people that he puts in your path. When George Ritchie then entered back into life, went on to become a doctor, carries around his death certificate, actually. And you know what he does with his life? He just loves people. He loves people, and he loves them. And he said, you have no idea what awaits you. And he loves them. He loves them, literally loves them into the kingdom, And we have the best example of this down here on earth ever. We have Jesus. And what did he model for us? Okay. He modeled for us that he took the reviling of men. He took the torture. He took the insults. He took the beatings. He took death. He took death on a cross. He took that all. All right. He took that all because that is how much he loved us. That is how much he loved that. You know how we walk around down here? Someone insults us. Someone does us wrong. Somebody does something that, you know, we didn't deserve. Somebody does something. Well, guess what? I betcha that we are not loving them as Jesus would have us love them. No. We're standing up for our own selves, and we shouldn't be treated that way. And we deserve something better. And that was unfair. And that's what we're screaming. That is the world. And that is what we want fairness. We want justice. We want all of these kinds of things. And we don't really want to live in that kind of sacrificial love. But he says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love those that persecute you. I want you to love those that insult you. You know what? I want you to love those that lie about you. I want you to love those who mean for your destruction. I want you to love them. That's what I want you to do. Because it's in the face of that. It's in the face of that that someone sees something otherworldly. They don't just see the way the world reacts. They see something that the world doesn't make any sense to them. And all of a sudden they have to start questioning that. And that's how we're to be living here. We're to be living so that people will question and ask and want to know what it is that makes us different. What makes us different to be able to take those lies, those persecutions, those insults, all of that? What makes us different and able to do that? Well, guess what makes us able to do that? The love of Jesus in us. The love of Jesus. Okay. The thing that gets infused into you, well, it can be various things. But it doesn't originate with you. They're putting something into you, right? Mm-hmm. They're putting something into you. Maybe they're giving you a transfusion of blood. Maybe they're giving you medicine. Maybe they are giving you any number of things, but it doesn't originate with you. Neither will this love. This love can't originate with you because it's not the love of the Father. It's a worldly love that can originate in you, but you need this infusion of God's love. And you're going to have to spend time with him to get that. So that's the love that you are putting out there for the ones that you come into contact with. Here's the thing. You don't even have to go away and do fantastic things on the mission field. You don't have to be an evangelist where you're speaking to many, many, many people. That isn't what you have to do. Do you know that all you have to do is if you just did your sphere of influence, you come into contact with a lot of people in the course of a day, certainly your families, certainly your extended families, certainly the person in the grocery store, certainly the person on the phone, the person, in numerous ways, you are being asked to affect that for eternity. You are to have an eternal mindset so that the people that you are around will know that something different is in you, but you're going to have to let him infuse this love into you. Otherwise, you know what you're offering up? You're offering up that conditional love, I love you because you love me. That love that the second it's done wrong, the second it's offended, the second it's any of those kinds of things, it's not there right at this moment. It's not there. That love. Okay. That is what we have to have. The incomparable, unconditional, precious life blood of Jesus. That love, that's the thing that needs to be in us. Again, doesn't originate with us. It gets infused into us by him when we spend time with him. And I dare say it is really, really past time to get our eyes focused on eternity. Get our eyes there. Instead of just keeping them so here, and that is the message that he wants just to shout from the mountaintops. It is heaven is him, his presence, his love, his all-encompassing thing. And one thing that all of these accounts that you will read from someone who had those moments is this. All of them are similar in this. They may describe different aspects of what that was like, but it is a permeating love that they cannot describe. And we make it like George Ritchie. You know what? He didn't walk around for the next however many years he lived. He didn't walk around going, I wonder what my purpose is. I wonder what my calling is. He knew what it was. He knew what his job was. He was sent back to love. He was sent back to love people and to give them an eternal mindset. The man never lost the eternal mindset. He knew what awaited him on the other side. But we should as well know that awaits us on the other side. Instead, we're paupers clinging to this world and everything that it offers. And we're just trying to get ahead down here, and we're just trying to do the best that we can. And we are not, we are so not living the life that he intended for us to be living. He means for us to be living it so differently. So that is the message. That is the message of this evening. The treasure of heaven is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is the Father. It is the Holy Spirit. It is them. They are the treasure. It's not the pearly gates or the golden streets or the wonderful mansion or whatever it is going to be. And it is going to be so far beyond our imagination. So, but we need to spend less time picturing that, because this is the thing that I believe that God really convicted my heart. What happens if you spend too much time on the, what does it look like and what's it going to be like and how's it going to be? You're taking your worldly mindset, because you see, that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to make this better. It takes our worldly mindset there. That's not the mindset that we're to have. I know that God just really touched my heart with that, is that, no, I don't want, that's not your focus. Your focus needs to be me, the treasure. I'm that. And you are going to experience and feel something like you can't even possibly know. Like he said in his, it all melted away. He said, this love was so encompassing. There was everything I'd ever done wrong. It couldn't stand in that presence. It couldn't. It was all washed away. And he came back with an amazing love for people and lived a good, full life, ushering them into the kingdom. What a powerful, powerful testimony. And there are many others like them, but this one just reached out and grabbed me, because that's the love that we're to have, and that's, we are to be eternally minded. It is to change the mindset. We are a new creation, and we don't live according to this world, or we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be living with a little more eternal mindset. So that is your assignment, if you will, for these next couple of weeks. Learn the verse or go over the verse, but more importantly, it is what I said, getting up every day and setting your mind on the eternal. And here's the thing, so much of this will lose its grasp. So much of this down here on earth, when we can do that, will lose its hold, because I'm so sad to say the worldly things have a hold on us. They do. They have a hold on us. Maybe a little less of a hold for those of us which actually have people present in heaven, because we anxiously await what that will be like. I have some precious grandchildren that are in heaven. I can hardly wait to see their faces. you know, I can hardly wait to see their faces. And yeah, yeah. So we need the eternal mindset, and we need to be about the Father's work. We need to have that, his precious and powerful and amazing love infused into us, so that it is what we give the undeserving world. Those people badgering, those people not deserving of it. That's the only way that they, that's how they come to Jesus. Very often, and you have heard these accounts before, I've heard several of them on Christian radio, where someone here, you know, had a loved one that was murdered, or had had something very tragic happen in that way, and that person serving a life sentence. And you will hear the accounts of how that person will go to the prison and will extend forgiveness and will offer that up, knowing how brutally murdered their loved one was, and what a hard thing for them to do. But in the face of that, something happens. They're released from the prison that unforgiveness and the root of bitterness will have over them for not doing that. They're released from that. But the more precious and powerful thing is, not always, but a very large portion of the time, that person actually comes into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's a forgiveness they can't understand. They don't deserve it, and they know they don't deserve it. And yet, that is the powerful, powerful thing of this love, this Jesus love, that gets infused in us as we will spend time in his word, spend time in prayer, spend time with him. It's his nearness to us that gives us the peace, that gives us the love, that empowers us to do things that we're just not empowered to do otherwise. It's his nearness that will help with that. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we all need a dose of your eternal perspective. We need it. We need infused with your love. And Father, forgive us, really forgive us for living with the worldly mindset that we live with. Sometimes, God, it's just because we're in denial and we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about out there, you know, we just don't want to think about that right now. But God, we need forgiveness for that. We need to bring eternity. We need to experience, and we need to dwell on you and eternity, so that we can be about the Father's work here, so that we can fulfill that which you intended for us to do here while we are here. Such a short time, really. Such a short time. Father, give us each that eternal perspective, and help us each day more and more move in that, so that we move a little less in the worldly mindset. Thank you, precious Jesus. Amen.